There he is, and he's got a summary statement, which you should all have as well.
Thank you. Right. Welcome, Mr. Van Benter.
Yeah, it doesn't have a light.
Okay, all good. Yep, thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you. Essentially, I'll just work through, as the other experts have, my statement of evidence or summary statement. I suppose, just in terms of opening remarks, I mean, my interest really in terms of this process is really, I suppose, as the asset custodian for infrastructure for the city, and I'm really speaking to issues which are around securing both, you know, services for the immediate, you know, existing services, but also with an eye on future requirements, albeit, you know, the demand on those services is particularly uncertain, as you've already heard about the nature of, you know, what is happening in this part of the city. So, to begin, I'm currently the acting chief engineer at Palmerston North City Council. So I've prepared really evidence on the NOR's impact on the City Council's existing and future strategic three waters roading, as well as walking and cycling networks, really on behalf of the Section 42 team. So in summary, I'm just going to comment on sort of three areas. One, issues in relation to the impacts on the Council's existing and future you know, roading and three waters networks that really, I think, haven't been maybe resolved or sufficiently addressed in our view. Secondly, just some updates on Council's planned and committed program of upgrade work, albeit those things are still quite uncertain, but particularly those really around the strategic roading network. And just, I think, a few things, thirdly, in terms of the draft conditions, including any differences between the revised ones proposed by Kiwi Rail and the latest ones, I think, proposed by the reporting team. So I think there are a few things that I understand the commissioners were seeking some updates on, so I'll just cover those off briefly now. So in Clause 5, level crossing closures of Roberts Line and Cleverly Road. So as you may be aware, that we had fatal accidents at both of those level crossing intersections. So we completed accident reports, and we looked at options for treatments to address those safety risks. We sort of came to conclusion, or Council considered, that really the closure of both of those level crossings to vehicular traffic was probably the most effective way of addressing those safety risks. So as a result, we've been in discussion with Kiwi Rail as landowner. So at this stage, those discussions are really ongoing to agree the design of those closures and what roading works might be required, and the appropriate process that might be followed. So that's really where we're at with that at the moment. The second matter, really about sort of the strategic roading network investment. So I've included a table in my statement there. Council's just recently approved a 10-year plan and includes obviously significant investment in upgrades, both to give effect to the ring road vision or a reality around Palmerston North, but also so those programs were included in Council's regional land transport plan submission to Waka Kotahi. Now the submission is and was subject to review by Waka Kotahi, who, as you'll be aware, they've signalled there's quite a large oversubscription to the land transport budget, particularly for the next 3 years. So at this stage, we are assuming for that Council's funding commitment will be matched by a 51% subsidy from Waka Kotahi, apart from a few of the programs which are 100% development or growth funded. So at this stage, some of the smaller programs of work around safety, Road to Zero, which were safety programs, we've had approval from Waka Kotahi for this three-year period of 85% of those programs. But many of the other PNITI or Freight Ring Road programs of work, we haven't yet had a decision, so they're still outstanding as to whether or not we'll be receiving funding support. So until such time as we know whether we'll get that subsidy, we probably don't know what level of commitment council will be able to make, and we may need to go back to council for a revised program and timing. So, but I've included the programs here in that table. So I suppose the point of clarification there, the Rural Freight Ring Road is not one project. It's actually a whole collection of investments in a corridor. And what has been set out in the program business case, which is signed off by Waka Kotahi, is essentially a very rough timeframe for those packages or elements of that program to be implemented. And essentially we're looking at anything up to 12 years, maybe as long as 15, for all of those elements to be triggered. So at this stage, we are only looking at having committed funding for the next three-year period. So, and that really is focused on some what we call, I would call, activation of the route. So currently, Kairanga-Bunnythorpe has a number of obstacles to its use for heavy vehicles. It's got a couple of bridges, one which is under strength, so it's currently weight-restricted, and one that's quite narrow. But also there are intersections which are suboptimal. Alongside that, we still have to do separate business cases for each of some of these elements of the Freight Ring Road. So although there's this overarching business case which has been signed off, in fact, you now have to go and do individual little business cases for each of the other pieces. So it is by no means clear how and when any of the particular elements of that alignment would be funded or procured. So anyway, I'll leave that aside. The Clause 8, just clarifications again, other network changes. So there is still, Council's still working through the next stage of the speed limit bylaw review. We're, as you may be aware, again, Waka Kotahi has introduced a proposal for a change to the way that speed limits are set, which involve a regional speed limit plan. But in the meantime, we do have a process whereby we may be looking at a number of changes to the existing speeds on some of these roads, in particularly around the Kairanga-Bunnythorpe connection. So really, to capture the fact that the current roads are essentially deficient in terms of width and condition, and to reduce sort of intersection safety risks. A number of the intersections on the Kairanga-Bunnythorpe Road currently are black spot intersections. They have high traffic, high safety, have poor safety records and high DSIs or death and serious injury track records. My Clause 9, upgrade of El Prado. So at this stage, and El Prado is the current exit for the existing Northeast Industrial Zone onto Railway Road. So I think there might be a mistake there. You're saying El Prado Railway Road rather than Roberts Line. The requirement for any upgrade will be determined by the changes in traffic volume, essentially, at that intersection. So Council has prioritised trying to reach agreement with the private landowner of the existing Northeast Industrial Zone on construction of a link called from Alderson's Drive through to the Northeast Industrial Zone onto Richardson's Line. Funding provisions have been made by Council, but at this stage, we haven't yet reached agreement. If constructed, that link will provide an alternative route for some of the vehicle movements which would otherwise use the El Prado Junction. So it would help to relieve possibly some of that pressure. 10, upgrade of Richardson Roberts Lines Junction. Essentially, we're in the position where we have to plan for a provisioning of infrastructure to meet immediate requirements, but also have in mind what the future corridor intersection requirements might be going forward. So for the purposes of our 10-year plan, we've completed a concept design for that roundabout. The design is pretty much a standard roundabout to accommodate heavy traffic movements. So at this stage, we haven't done detailed design, but that's not proposed to occur until 2023. If the modus of requirements confirmed, we would obviously need to discuss with KiwiRail what their expectations are about vehicle movements, and we would expect there to be some requirements to modify the design and provide for changes in its how it operates. Strategic link, transport link from KiwiRail Hub to the Ring Road. So there has been, I understand, discussion about Council's preference for any linkage between the freight hub and the wider strategic network. So Council, I suppose, and particularly sort of infrastructure, has signalled its desire to activate the Ring Road, and particularly Kaiuringa and Bunnythorpe as the key corridor for vehicles accessing the North East Industrial Zone and the freight hub. So as described, Council's committed to funding all of the cost to upgrade Richardson's and Setters Line. That's essentially part of that growth area activation. Mm-hmm. But also look to co-fund with Wakatahi upgrades to the connection of Richardson's Line and KB Road via Roberts Line currently, and the intersections at both of those junctions. So because there's a wider benefit to the network. So KiwiRail's replacement of Railway Road with a new perimeter road on the northwestern side is supported, provided those linkages and connections are consistent with that wider network. What Council doesn't support is the continued, I suppose, use of that northern section of Railway Road to connect to Kaiuringa Bunnythorpe as a permanent connection. And Council signalled rather its desire to see a new connection from this proposed perimeter road to the Ring Road somewhere back from that Railway Road connection in the vicinity of Tenaio Road. So essentially this would link with what is currently the concept for a roundabout at the southern end of the proposed bypasses of Bunnythorpe to Fielding and Ashurst. The key issue we see with the continued use of the upper end of Railway Road is essentially it would continue not only to affect residents in the area of Bunnythorpe, but it does perpetuate what we currently have, which are significant safety and traffic efficiency problems. So it also, this speaks to the importance of the Ring Road and ensuring that there's facility within the conditions to ensure that there's future integration of the strategic roading network. In that respect, I'm really relying on Ms. Fraser's evidence in terms of the traffic safety matters. But I suppose I'm, again, probably following on from some of the other expert witnesses today, saying we are trying to, through this NOR process, ensure that we are giving effect to the best network for that part of the city, which is durable for 50 years, but is not simply about meeting an expedient requirement, for the short term. So, that's really, where we're headed. So, moving on, I understand there's been some discussion at the hearing about whether there should be appropriate mechanisms and conditions for addressing potential damage to the council's road network that will be caused by the freight hub construction vehicles. So, and this is a bit of a concern to us. Obviously, in this time of very constrained budgets, anything which might change the nature of our costs and maintain the network are very important. So, Council would like there to be a mechanism for determining, and particularly using a modelling approach, the level of any road damage or deterioration and the requirement for reinstatement and compensation for any road damage or deterioration caused by the freight hub construction traffic. So, I would consider that damage to the road network attributable to KiwiRail construction traffic to be an effect of the NOR on the council's asset. And in those circumstances, requiring this effect to be remedied remedied through conditions on the NOR is really, at the moment, the only suitable tool. In the absence of a separate site agreement with KiwiRail. So that's the only mechanism I see that I'm aware of at this stage to ensure that the costs of remedying the damage caused are not passed on to council and the Palms North residents. So I note that, you know, KiwiRail's construction design report estimates that, you know, during construction will be anything up to 145,000 trips over a two-year period of fully laden 15 cubic metre truck and trailer units to import the fill material. There's absolutely no question that that level of heavy vehicle movements will result in significant, more rapid deterioration and damage to our roads. Many of our local roads are certainly, you know, not constructed to withstand that level of activity, and, you know, modelling simply says that, a road before it, until its end of life, will carry so many truck vehicles. If you essentially concentrate that in a few years, you'll bring forward the date at which that road needs to be renewed. So I agree with the sentiment that the tools used to assess the repair requirements need to be targeted at the effect caused by KiwiRail. So I've considered the appropriate mechanisms to address that and suggest that this can be addressed by requiring pre- and post-construction surveys, with the pre-construction surveys reporting on matters including the condition of the carriageway, and that by using that data with independent comparative pavement life cycle modelling, that's a long phrase, example of that sort of process is something called DTIMS, which is used quite routinely in roading asset management. So we would look at both the with and without construction traffic scenarios to determine the requisite impact. And then we would validate that post-construction, so by asking KiwiRail to conduct further surveys using the same methods in the same locations and for the same extents as pre-construction. And on that basis, and as necessary, KiwiRail would be required at its expense to engage contractors to carry out the rehabilitation works necessary to sort of essentially restore the asset to the condition prior to the without construction scenario. So firstly, finally, there's a level of maintenance. So beyond the fact that we're wearing out the asset, which is really the pavement construction damage spoken about just prior, there's also a question of maintenance that I consider should be required in respect of the construction traffic. So to ensure that the surface of the road and particularly its waterproofness is maintained. And we've suggested this be provided through the construction traffic management plan. So, and in addition, we would expect that on some of the roads intended to be used for construction vehicles, specific geometric deficiencies, possibly widening or some pavement upgrades, might be required to accommodate the construction traffic, and these would need to be identified, designed and completed by KiwiRail to a standard acceptable to council prior to works commencing. So, we're more than comfortable that all the above matters could be addressed by way of a site agreement, project agreement with KiwiRail, but as we haven't yet achieved agreement on that at this stage, I consider that conditions are appropriate to provide certainty in that matter. So just a couple of other matters. Safety and efficiency effects, internal level crossings. Council has advanced a concept level roundabout design for the Richardson's and Roberts Line intersection. It's just a standard design, allows for heavy vehicles, as I said, but it's not tailored at this stage to KiwiRail requirements. So we would expect the design will need to be amended to address any specific, requirements in terms of vehicle stacking or tailbacks due to access or entry restrictions to the freight hub. In terms of the period of time ahead of commencement of construction when a construction TMP would be required, provided, it's our view that a reasonable notice period be provided on the basis that council, provides time for council to manage and mitigate any potential impacts on our own program of work. So as there's a requirement for upgrades to be completed before construction commences, I would consider 6 months as a reasonably appropriate sort of time period for us to be given that plan. And then the final matter really is just around the water bore. In my evidence previously, I discussed the council's plan to upgrade and expand its bore facility on the corner of Roberts Line and Railway Road on land that we currently own. This facility is designed as a regionally significant piece of infrastructure under the regional policy statement. Again, we have been progressing discussions with Kiwi Rail to ensure that provision is made for our development expansion plans in a site agreement. However, that's not yet agreed, despite my hopes that it would be by the time of this hearing. The notice of requirement as proposed will certainly interfere with Council's planned upgrade of its facilities, and I consider that provision for the upgrade should be preserved. So again, the matter could be, it's well suited to a project agreement, but if it can't be agreed by the time the designation's finalised, then we're certainly keen that the planned upgrade should be preserved by a condition. So, I mean, probably just an additional thing on the water bore. I mean, that water supply facility is actually central to providing water supply for the northeast industrial zone and, no doubt, to the Kiwi Rail hub itself, although we haven't yet had any indication of what their water demand might be. So, I mean, it is fairly central to servicing that part of the city. So.
What's the depth of the bore there?
In excess of 250 metres here. So I think there was a question earlier. It's confined. The water is decades old, and its recharge zone is purported to be up against the Ruhini. So certainly it's a regionally sourced aquifer. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's taken a while to come down from the Ruhini.
Yeah, exactly, that's right. So really, that's also happy to take questions. Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Mackinson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Van Bentham. I had a feeling I might be going first, so I have to confess I've been rapidly scribbling some questions down. So I'd like to start at paragraph 12 of your summary statement. And this is around you saying that council does not support the long-term use of the northern section of Railway Road being used as the connection point for the perimeter road. So I assume that's to do with the safety and layout of the Railway Road, Campbell Road, kind of Bunnythorpe Road agglomeration of intersections and level crossing.
It's really to do with the fact that the railway road joins KB Road at a right angle junction just next door to the railway line. So it's through an existing area of residential development, but also it's not the long-term durable connection in the event that, or when, as we hope, there is a grade-separated bypass of Bunnythorpe by the Ring Road. So really we want a connection which is essentially further to the south, so that would then link to the eventual connection of those regional freight connectors to Fielding and Ashurst. So in the short term, though, I mean, we already have safety issues with that junction. I mean, there's a lot of tailbacking and occurring there at present, and the trucks already are cutting the corner and destroying the footpath, and so it's essentially there's no space for us to move in that location. To re-engineer that intersection is problematic. So
if I can take you to draft condition 50 in the 13th of August set, which is the road network integration plan.
You might just need a moment to
I'll
be
just
shown.
Ask if I can be shown that.
Condition 50?
That's the one. Condition 50.
Yes.
Okay. So reading through that, this sets out some of the expected outcomes of the wider idea to integrate. We've heard a lot during the duration of the hearing that We have different elements of infrastructure coming forward at different times, and essentially somebody has to be first. You know, somebody's got to start the whole process off, and we need to make sure that what follows behind can then fit, and also that the first cab off the rank doesn't start adversely affecting the ability of that later infrastructure to be developed and delivered. So what I'm quite keen to get your view on is whether there's anything in condition 50 that you see that actually speaks to the view you've shared with us about railway road not being supported as the long-term connection point to KB Road for the new perimeter road. Because I have to confess, I'm struggling to find anything.
Yeah, I don't believe there is anything there that's explicit.
Okay. So the question I have is, given the purpose of the RNIP is to create that integration, in your view, should we be looking to have something in this condition that creates that certainty for the future around Railway Road versus Teneo Road as the northern connection point for the perimeter road for heavy vehicles?
I suppose the difficulty we have is that while we would like to require Kiwi Rail to give effect to a alternative connection to Railway Road, we don't yet have any certainty about as to whether or not, we will have activated that part of the rural freight ring road to receive the freight traffic. So, I mean, what we're hoping in the next, 6 years, two cycles of, is that we will have effectively activated Kairanga-Bunnythorpe, and that essentially we'll be ready to receive all that freight traffic. So, certainly that's, if that was a possible avenue, through the conditions for the MNOR, we would be supportive of that. I have been informed that it's actually difficult to make that a requirement when that capability doesn't currently exist. So, you're right. This is sort of chicken and egg thing. When does something? I mean, fundamentally, the freight hub will be a huge generator of freight traffic. So, if anyone should be compelled to connect at a point that's more suitable for the strategic network, then it should be the freight hub. I would certainly be supportive of that, but I'm not clear legally, where that sits in terms of them having to comply.
I'm grappling with the same question myself. So just exploring that a little with you, if we roll forward 5-6 years, based on the current condition as it's drafted, and council is in a position to go, yes, we want to change our road network, we want that connection to KB Road to be via Teneo Road, and Kiwi Rail is already there as an established activity. Other than the general consultation process that you would have for any form of network change, you have to go through public consultation processes. Are you aware of any mechanisms that you would have as a council to actually create that change that you're seeking and then ensure that the heavy vehicle traffic you're trying to remove from that top section of Railway Road as it goes through Bunnythorpe actually happens?
No, except that I think once Kiwi Rail was established, the onus would be on us to essentially secure and fund the alternative connection. And once we'd implemented that and had it available, then I suppose we would have the option of potentially closing the railway road connecting corridor. So in effect, we would say, well, this is going to be your only option going forward. But, That I would see as the only sort of possible mechanism. So we would have to provide the alternative. I think what I'm really keen is is actually enabled is that whatever perimeter road is designed, that it has the capability to connect to a road connection at, in that location. So, I mean, better still, it would have been, you know, a designation over a corridor and, and having that secured. But I think that's probably a step too far. But at least in terms of the design of the perimeter road, make provision for at some point in the future when the Rural Freight Ring Road is ready to receive traffic from an alternative alignment, make sure that is actually provided for. So,
so going back to where we started in terms of the condition, and there's maybe something that Ms. Copplestone may need to advise on, is creating that principle rather than the definitive connection to Tenaya Road, something that could be included within this rail network, road network integration plan condition.
I'd be guided by the planners in that respect, but if we could require that the design provides for a second future point of connection, then that would be the minimum that certainly would be supported by ourselves.
I'm sure Ms. Copplestone will be able to answer that in the next day or so. So if we move forward, so I should say, if I don't have any more condition questions,
that's all right.
If we move forward to paragraphs 16 and 17 of your summary from today, you're exploring the issue of how to place the cost for road network degradations from construction traffic at the appropriate feet, if you like.
Yes.
We appreciate that construction traffic and heavy vehicles in general have a much higher maintenance demand on your road network than light vehicles. And you've talked about the pre and post condition survey and that you used your pavement life cycle modelling. And then another additional element we're talking about is through the construction traffic management plan, making sure that water tightness and surface of the seal essentially is maintained. Do you feel there's an element of double dipping between those two?
No. Essentially, we're talking about they're connected, but they're different. They're different parts of the asset. So, essentially, in terms of maintenance, we're looking to maintain the surface of the road, and maintain its a reasonable level of roughness and smoothness and its integrity from water. So, because if you allow the road to water damage to occur, you very rapidly, the pavement becomes very rapidly damaged and you'll get major failure. So the question of pavement life, the life in any pavement will have a life depending on what it's been engineered for. I mean, there'll be some of our roads that are basically built on pug, there'll be virtually no. And what we'll find is the construction traffic will come along and they will simply blow apart. And you'll essentially be looking to maintain them, and then we'll be looking to rebuild the pavement after the work has gone through. But generally on major roads and arterial roads, the life is simply a function of the numbers of heavy vehicles and the time period with which those vehicles occur. So most roads, if they only have a small number of, vehicles, heavy vehicles typically per day, they'll last 20 years. When you concertina up, those numbers of heavy vehicles, essentially it's just the rapidity and the frequency of those vehicles passing over the pavement. The pavement simply, you use up that asset life in a very short period of time. So they're a bit connected, because obviously if pavements start to break down, the pavements get potholes, we lose the surface integrity. But so what we're envisaging is that we would want a level of investment by Kiwi Rail for the duration of the 2 years that they maintain the road for other users, because these are shared by other road users, so that they're still, you know, they're maintained, but that we also try to assess how much of that pavement life has been used up as a result of that construction. So yes, there will be a little bit of judgment associated with, you know, how much of that occurs. But I mean, for instance, you know, we typically reseal our roads in the city, you know, for say, you know, 400 metres of road. We might spend $10,000 on resealing, maybe $30,000 some pre-seal repairs, where we do little potholes and defect repairs. But if we rebuild that pavement, we could be spending, you know, $1 million. All right, so it's an order of magnitude different. You know, we're talking about small amounts of money for maintenance and pavement repairs. We're talking about very significant capital investments for pavement rehabilitation or reconstruction. So,
no, I do appreciate that. Some of my concern just lies around the complexity and the potentially protracted time frame over which construction would occur. So if we have bulk earthworks going on for 3 to 5 years, that is a fairly discrete element of construction. Mm. We then may have a hiatus between some of the early buildings going up to later works of 5-10 years. And I'm just trying to think about how this methodology is going to be realistically maintained, and you're not going to end up with Kiwi Rail having potentially paid for rebuilding a pavement after earthworks, not necessarily having assessed what the construction effects might be from their on-site structural construction, if you like, and they then have to repay because the revitalised pavement doesn't allow for those future construction activities. And it's just whether there is a simpler mechanism that might be related to vehicles and a standardised rate per kilometre travelled on the road network that might actually allow for a better outcome overall.
Probably not something I can answer today. I mean, it is a reasonably well accepted methodology for determining the requirements for pavement rehabilitation. I mean, we have to do this exercise when we apply for funding from Waka Kotahi. We have to do a pavement modelling exercise, and we have to do a justification that the pavement has reached the end of its life and it needs to be renewed. But I take your point. I mean, it's not... I think, you know, our concern is that it's the order of magnitude of the construction traffic. I mean, if we were just talking about a 10 or 15 or 20% increase in heavy vehicles, we wouldn't actually be, you know, there wouldn't be any contention here. We would have to say, well, you know, council will just have to accept that that's a function of, you know, the activity occurring. But what we're talking about here is... And, I mean, at this stage, I mean, I suppose I was looking, you know, the indication is that could be a very short time period of 2 to 3 years and a very large number of vehicles. So, you know, we're pretty clear that that will have a pretty major impact on the local roads. Again, we don't even know the routes. We don't know where this material is coming from. So this is a little bit speculative. But I do take your point that if the period of construction is very protracted and it builds up very slowly, you know, it may be more problematic to separate. But I think then it's probably going to fall on Kiwi Rail's side of benefit, because it's going to be quite hard for us to demonstrate that there's going to have, you know, there has been any material difference between the with and without construction traffic scenario. So... you know, the problem for council is we only have a couple of million dollars for pavement rehabilitation works every year. We can literally only rehab, you know, maybe 500 metres to a kilometre of road every year. So, I mean, this project has the potential to literally result in kilometres of road being suddenly in a very, very poor condition. So, this is a pretty significant financial impost if we don't get appropriate compensation from the effects of the development. But maybe the modelling can convert the effect of heavy vehicles into a vehicle by kilometre by number. But it is very much influenced by the time period over which the vehicles occur, that the travel occurs. So, if we're talking about very slow increases modest increases over time, it becomes very difficult to model the differences. But we were talking about very concentrated changes, then they should be quite apparent. So I'm not sure if I'm really answering the question. I mean, it may be something we'd need to have a think about, of whether there's another way of, document a condition around how to get seek compensation.
No, thank you for that. And just based on my experience of dealing with sand quarries in Waipar, they use a heavy vehicle impact fee approach, which is probably quite close to your DTIMS. But it may be worth having a think around that. So if you could give some more consideration to how best to recoup that cost, because I totally agree that the potential heavy vehicle effects would be significant. Many councils have very constrained pavement rehab budgets, so you're not alone in that. So I do understand the difficulties around not eating up that budget all in one go. So thank you. I don't have any further questions for at the moment.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pomari.
Mr. Van Bentham. Thank you very much for your Section 42A report and also for your summary statement today. Very comprehensive and clearly presented, so thank you for that. And I also just want to acknowledge the important role you play as custodian of the city's important infrastructure and assets. I have no questions for you other than to thank you again. So, kia ora.
Kia ora, thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Sweetman.
No questions. Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Benton. Very, very helpful. Thank you. All right, so I don't know about you, but I'm hungry and it's time to finish anyway, so thank you for your attendance and we'll see you at the next instalment. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.